Om Shishi Radha Shanti. And their servants too, of course. Servant can't be too far away. Yes. And you know what? I don't know if anyone has thought of a name for this new place. Where's Dad? Oh, there you are. There you are. Have you thought of a name? I don't want to pressure you into feeling you must just accept what I say, but I thought of a name, actually. Tell me what you think of this, because it's the home of Radhashyam Sundar. So I thought, possibly, I mean, there are so many possibilities, but I thought possibly Shri Shyam Dham. And I don't want you to feel you just have to agree. Shri Shyam Dham, that's nice. What do you think? Not bad.
That's wonderful.
Okay. All right. All right, so now I thought we could read actually a couple of verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. They're very nice, they're very appropriate. First of all, because the other day, Saturday, was Sri Ram Nomi. So these are verses, one verse about Lord Ram, one verse about Mother Sita. And then just because they were the ideal householder couple, and Dwarkadish Prabhu and Mother Rukmini Priya, they are following in their footsteps. Yes, and this is their place, or the place of Radhashyam Sundar where they're serving. So I thought these verses would be appropriate. It's Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, chapter 10, the pastimes of the Supreme Lord Ramachandra, verse 54 and 55. I think they're fairly well-known verses. They're very nice. So first of all, just repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Yes, so, 9th canto, chapter 10, verse 54 and then 55. And I'll read the purports of both verses as we go. Ekapatni vrata darau rajashi charita shuchi swadharanam griha mediyam shikshayan swayam acharat. Lord Ramachandra took a vow to accept only one wife and have no connection with any other women. He was a saintly king, and everything in his character was good, untinged by qualities like anger. He taught good behavior for everyone, especially for householders, in terms of Varnashram Dharma. Thus, he taught the general public by his personal activities. And the purport by Srila Prabhupada. Ekapatni Vrata, accepting only one wife, was the glorious example set by Lord Ramachandra. One should not accept more than one wife. In those days, of course, people did marry more than one wife. Even Lord Ramachandra's father accepted more wives than one. But Lord Ramachandra, as an ideal king, accepted only one wife, Mother Sita. When Mother Sita was kidnapped by Ravana and the Rakshasas, Lord Ramachandra, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, could have married hundreds and thousands of Sitas. But to teach us how faithful he was to his wife, he fought with Ravana and finally killed him. The Lord punished Ravana and rescued his wife to instruct men to have only one wife. Lord Ramachandra accepted only one wife and manifested sublime character, thus setting an example for householders. A householder should live according to the ideal of Lord Ramachandra, who showed how to be a perfect person. Being a householder or living with a wife and children is never condemned, provided one lives according to the regulative principles of Varnashram Dharma. Those who live in accordance with these principles, whether as householders, brahmacharis, or vanaprastas, are all equally important. So that's nice, very nice, and very instructive for the men, of course, particularly. Let's read the next verse, 55, which is describing Mother Sita. Premnanu vritcha shilena prashraya vanata sati biahriya chababagya bartu sita haran manaha. Mother Sita was very submissive, faithful, shy, and chaste, always understanding the attitude of her husband. Thus, by her character and her love and service, she completely attracted the mind of the Lord. And again, purport by Srila Prabhupada. As Lord Ramachandra is the ideal husband, Eka Patni Vrata, Mother Sita is the ideal wife. Such a combination makes family life very happy. Yad yad acharati shestas, tat tat eve turo jana. Whatever example the great man sets, common people follow. If the kings, the leaders, and the Brahmins, the teachers, would set forth the examples we receive from Vedic literature, the entire world would be heaven. Indeed, there would no longer be hellish conditions within this material world. And that's the last verse of that chapter, titled The Pastimes of the Supreme Lord Ramachandra. Yes, so here, in, if I may say, Sri Shamdam, these are the guidelines, you could say, the standards for the residents. Here I was also thinking, you know, because Dwarkadish Prabhu for many years, really many years, has been the leader of ISKCON in Marlborough, from before you were born, actually. I remember. I remember coming to the hospital to see you. I was still there. You had just been born a little prematurely, and you were there. But before that, Dwarkadish Prabhu was very much the leader of the devotees in Marlborough. But now he and Mother Rukmini Priya and you have moved out. What will happen to Marlborough? And I was thinking we might have to rename Gallo. This is Gallo Manor, isn't it? New Marlborough. It may be maybe now all the devotees will have to move out. Anyway, I'll leave that with you. But I believe it's fairly close to the Santan temple. Yeah. Quite closer than Mahavishnu. All right, yes. So here, we celebrated Ramnavami on Saturday, and so many things were said. Very nice things, generally. Particularly, I don't know if you were there when Kadamakalana Maharaj spoke. Wow, that was just really the most dramatic class I think I've seen, pretty much. It really was. But it was extremely nice. And then Ram Govinda Maharaj brought out different lessons of sort of character, conduct, attitudes. That was also very nice. And Lord Ramachandra and Mother Sita, they're just such wonderful and such attractive personalities. They're so extremely attractive, actually. It's relatively easy for, you could say, ordinary people to become attracted to Lord Ram and Mother Sita. They're kind of relatively easier to relate to, I would say. Yes. So here we're hearing about their character. Well, actually, just one other thing, sort of along those lines. I was just reading as I was going through, I went through quite a number of verses, tried to see what might be suitable. And I came across one very nice verse. Also about Lord Ram, and it made the point that, and Prabhupada expanded on it in the purport, how Lord Ram is so attractive on one hand, but on the other hand so merciful and broad-minded that he didn't just accept humans as his devotees and show affection and look after and really, you know, give himself to humans. But Lord Ram, he accepted all different types of animals. Of course, we know Lord Krishna is particularly fond of the cows. He's also fond of the peacocks. And you know, if you read a little, you'll see in Vrindavan there, where Krishna stays in the village, they have buffalo. They have buffalo. And Srimati Radharani has a pet little deer, like a very young deer, called Rangini. And Lord Krishna, listen to this, devotees, Lord Krishna has two dogs. Hare Krishna. Anyway, there you go. Lord Krishna has two dogs. So Lord, in other words, Lord Krishna, he's also, he likes animals. But Lord Ram, as far as we can see, he likes animals more. Or he likes more animals, at least. You know? He is just totally fond of the monkeys. And he's very close with Jambavan and the bears. And there's even that incident. Well, then there's birds, some birds also. Very special relationships with Lord Ram. And then there's even the story of Lord Ram and the spider. At least, well, I've heard two versions with Hanuman also. Hanuman and the spider and Hanuman and the squirrel. Whichever way, it's okay. But I first at least heard about the spider. And perhaps you know that story. how the when they're building the bridge to Lanka, and Hanuman and the big powerful monkeys there, carrying big boulders and mountain peaks and throwing them out into the ocean, and they were floating. But this one little spider, even if you say squirrel, was taking just a little bit of sand or a little bit of this and that and throwing it out, and it was also floating. But it was very little. And Hanuman apparently became quite agitated with this little squirrel or spider. And because the monkeys were running up and down the beach, and they almost squished the little spider or squirrel back to Godhead. What a way to go under Hanuman's lotus foot. But they, being sensitive persons, even though they're monkeys, they didn't want to step on the little creature. So, but it was a sort of an impediment to their running up and down very fast and very strongly. So Hanuman asked them to move. And Lord Ram heard. And Lord Ram chastised Hanuman that I value his service as much as I value yours, because as you are trying your best according to your capacity, he is also trying his best according to his capacity. I make no distinction at all. And of course, this is a principle in devotional service, that it's not really, if your service is very important or just something very, very simple, like my first service, regular service every day, I became the pot washer in our temple in London. I won't go through the details, but I think many of you have heard about that. I was washing the pots with cold water and no soap, and big pots. Yeah, but after a while, because it was a big job, after a while, I got an assistant. So instead of being the pot washer, I became the head pot washer. Moved up the scale. The head wash pot washer, or just the regular one, doesn't matter. Really, what matters and what the Lord recognizes is the sincerity of heart, actually. Sincerity of heart, which manifests in effort. It's not just an emotion, oh, I want to please the Lord. But that the sincerity of purpose manifests in the quality and quantity of the service, yeah, according to one's capacity. Yes, so Lord Ram, there's all these different animals, and Lord Ram was really closely connected with them and had very affectionate relationships with them, at least no less than Krishna. And what I was reading there, Prabhupada's point, at least included the idea that Lord Ram was particularly appreciative of the animals who were serving him. So anyway, but here we have the description of the ideal householder couple. And this is very instructive in the sense that I would say the great majority of you all devotees and friends sitting here either are householders or will at some point become. So that's very relevant. These things are extremely relevant. And when, of course, in regard to Lord Ram, the point that Prabhupada focuses on, first of all, he talks about Ekapatni Vrata, only one, which, you know, is obviously the normal standard. But then he expands on the point by bringing out how it wasn't just one, but how Lord Ram was so dedicated to his one wife. Yes. And to the point, as we read, that Sita was kidnapped, and Lord Ram went to great lengths and accepted great extreme inconvenience and danger to rescue his one wife. Prabhupada mentions here that Lord Ram, as the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Mystic, he could have just manifested out of his mind or out of nowhere hundreds, Prabhupada says, hundreds and thousands of Sitas. But he didn't do that. And neither did he actually, as we mentioned on Saturday, neither did he use his mystical powers to just extend his arm out, his hand, and just pick Sita out of captivity just like that. Or just switch off Ravana's heart by remote control, which he normally does with the great majority of people. But he made the effort to confront Ravana, and actually he demanded, "Give me Sita back." That was the idea. The war, the battle, was not a sort of, what would you say, an attempt at colonization or empire growing, something like that. It was simply a rescue mission. That's all. It was simply a rescue mission of his wife Sita. And he showed that so that the modern day husbands and would-be husbands, or will-be husbands, that they'll understand how important this is. How important to look after the wife in the sense of physical security, of course, but then in the broader sense of just seeing that she's nicely situated and facilitated in her life. It's really so important. It's just vital, actually. Yes, and if the husband does that, it builds his character and develops him as a person. Whereas if he doesn't, if he just tries to sort of use her as a facility for a sense gratification and they sort of squabbling a lot, this will have the reverse effect. Instead of developing both of them, or in this case the man, he'll sort of degrade, retrograde. Yeah. So for a husband in Krishna consciousness, we talk of it as Grihastha Ashram, not just Grihastha. But Grihastha Ashram. And ashram means a place of spiritual development. Not just Grihastha house or something, but an ashram for specific development at that particular stage of life. And if it's done nicely, then it's beneficial for the husband in terms of developing his qualities of character and strength of person. And then, And then if the, well, probably the last point he makes in the prayer book here, is that if a householder lives like that, a man, then we don't really distinguish householder, brahmachari, vanaprastha, Prabhupada doesn't mention, but sannyasi also. We don't really make a big distinction. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was a householder until the later stage in his life. But when we look at our list of persons and we look at the pictures on the altar, parampara, then it's not like Yes Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Sannyasi and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Srila Prabhupada, Sannyasis. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, well, he was just a householder, but anyway, or something like that. He's there. He's one of them. And it doesn't really matter. As he himself says, Grihe Thako, Vane Thako, what is it? Harinam Abole Dako, something like that. Whether you're living at home as a householder or living in the forest as a renunciate, I don't mind. I would just like to chant the holy names with you. Yeah. Yes. Then, of course, then there's the description of Mother Sita, which is also, you know, it's very sweet and very beautiful. Mother Sita was very submissive, faithful, shy, and chaste, always understanding the attitude of her husband. Thus, by her character and her love and service, she completely attracted the mind of the Lord. And he did whatever she wanted. It wasn't one of these situations where, you know, they're squabbling. I want this. No, you can't have it. I want that. No, you can't have it. And, you know, I want one of these, well, okay, not that one, it's too expensive. You know, she had the good sense, she understood the family situation, she had the good sense to not be demanding beyond the capacity of her husband to facilitate. Yeah. And because her character was like that, submissive, faithful, shy and chaste, and loving, in service, then Lord Ram always knew if she asks for something, it's because it's important. It's not just some whimsy. She wants something, I must get it for her. And he always did, even to the point like we read of rescuing her with great difficulty. And that sort of household life, as will go on here in Sri Shyamda, in New Marlborough. Yes, but seriously, actually, this is how things will go on here, and it's a nice place. It's a very pleasant place. One thing I like about it is it has this nice garden in the front. This is a pleasant garden. Back in old Marlborough, there was a garden, but it was just sort of, you know, a bit on the side there, and it wasn't like a focal point. But here, you know, it's a focal point and nicely laid out, and there's a nice, I think it's a sort of frangipani tree there to give nice flowers. Yes, so it's a really nice place for executing Krishna consciousness. Really nice. And having gatherings of devotees, maybe in the summer, in the garden, this sort of thing. Yeah. But anyway, Mother Sita, she was not, you know, in the male culture or subculture, there's this caricature, which every man is aware of the wife as a nag. Yeah. And picking. I don't know about in Indian culture so much, frankly, but in white culture, I tell you what, it's just a whole thing. Like mothers-in-law. As soon as you say mother-in-law, they say, oh yeah, mother-in-law. And wife means she's always after something. But Mother Sita wasn't like that. She really wasn't like that. She really had this idea of pleasing her husband and assisting, helping, facilitating her husband in very nice ways. And that, coupled with Lord Ram's leadership, his leadership, and of course his very gentle heart anyway, created just an ideal family situation, as Prabhupada says. That if the leaders and the teachers and anyone would set forth the examples we receive from Vedic literature, like these most particularly, the entire world would be heaven. This world, including Gallo Manor, Johannesburg, it'd be heaven. And there'd no longer be hellish conditions within this material world. It's a little hard to, it's very hard to imagine, actually, how this world and the people in it could be like that, and that the overall atmosphere and the moods and the emotions would be on such high levels. But it's really possible. Starting, of course, within the each family unit as a sort of kind of enclosed unit, making it like that as much as possible. And then through association and reaching out to try and influence others to also live like that. Yes. And we read, I don't know how many of you were there on Saturday evening, we read the previous verse prior to the first of these two, in which it said that when Lord Ram was the king, that there was no lamentation, and there was no, just give me a sec, and I'll just have a look at it. All bodily and mental suffering, disease, old age, bereavement, lamentation, distress, fear, and fatigue were completely absent. There was even no death for those who didn't want it. And it's not just some fairy tale sort of dream idea. But Prabhupada in the purport, but it was like that. And Prabhupada in the purport says, a similar situation could be introduced immediately, even in this age of Kali, based on the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, individually, collectively, Sankirtan, Japa. If we chant offenselessly, Ram and Krishna will still be present. Hare Krishna. And the spreading of this Hare Krishna movement can immediately introduce a similar situation. Yes, so it's nice. It's really extremely nice, actually. And we all, you know, I know some of you here are not sort of so much active, although you're supporters and friends, and you know, it's nice, it's great. Maybe not all are really like practicing regularly on a daily basis. maintaining particular vows and so on. But you all, particularly as householders, and we all just in general, let's try to maintain develop such standards. You know, a lady or a man, Lord Ram was addressed first. Lord Ram was so dedicated to Mother Sita. So a current day husband might say, well, listen, my wife is no Mother Sita. So, you know. And the ladies could say that my husband is no Lord Ram, which is true. I mean, in a sense, it's true. But we're not here for what we are. We're here really for what we should become. That's the idea. If the idea was, you know, we're already okay, and so that's fine the way things are, that would be one thing. But we are here because we know that everything is not okay. Everything is not okay. But really there's a need for every single one of us to really work to develop and make progress and improve and develop our characters as devotees. So even if your husband, if your wife is not Mother Sita and is not always submissive, unfaithful I imagine, but submissive, shy, chaste, and so on and so forth, okay, bear with her. And even if your husband isn't that noble protector and, you know, I will look after you or die trying type of person. But let's work together as a team and try and help each other, encourage each other to develop like that, actually. And it can be done, and it is done. It is done. And let me just close right now by saying that I read a little while ago a letter. What was it? Not a letter, actually. It was a husband, that's what it was. It was on Would You Believe That Sacred Place Facebook. And this husband put a little, you know, you put a little thing, what's going on in your life sometimes. And then all your friends, or whoever, they all see it. But this man, not a young man, disciple of Prabhupada, and, you know, actually more or less an kind of elderly person, he wrote that, my dear devotees, you won't, or you might not, believe it, but today my wife just paid me the greatest compliment that I feel that I was ever paid. She said to me, you know, you are quite a good husband, actually. She said, if we take birth again, I wouldn't mind being your wife again. That was the point. That's an achievement, isn't it? Well, I don't know, but that was what happened. And he was really touched by that, to the point that he just, you know, told the world. And I thought actually it was very nice. So there you are, devotees, some food for thought, and particularly the residents of Sri Shamdam. But all of you, please consider these things. They're here in the Bhagavatam for reasons. They're not just colorful, interesting, stimulating little anecdotes, but they're all there for educational purposes. Yeah. absolute educational purposes. Hare Krishna.
Hare
Rama.
Hare Rama.
Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki. Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande.
Hare
Bol. Well, actually, Dwarkadish Prabhu suggested someone might have a question or a comment. I don't know if anybody does, but if anyone does, feel free. You know what I tell the devotees quite often, and sometimes it's true. That was a joke, by the way. But I tell the devotees that, you know what they tell me? They tell me that the devotees in Marlborough are very intelligent and thoughtful. And really interested, and therefore they have many questions. Anyway, it's okay, it's getting late. Oh, all right, yes.
Raj, in your verse, you mentioned that Lord Rama is very devoted towards having one wife.
Yes.
But then, how do you explain to somebody who doesn't really understand scriptures about how Krishna had many wives? In relation to Lord Ram having only one wife.
Yes. You know, normally we would avoid that unless we had to, you know, unless the person specifically asked about it. It's the principle, Prabhupada talks about it here and there. It's called the Ishvara principle, that Lord Krishna, in many cases, he did things, certain things, in very exemplary ways, just as Lord Ram did at least many things. But then, because particularly Krishna, is Ishvara, he's the Lord, he's on a higher level. Therefore, when he wants to, if he wants to, he doesn't have to do things in exemplary ways. He's not sort of just, you know, a slave or a servant of just doing morally right things. When he wants, he can do what he likes. So that's one sort of perspective that Prabhupada gives. Then, of course, there's another very important thing. It's deeper, and it may be difficult to present or for people to understand, but the thing is that Krishna has manifested all living entities for his pleasure. That's what they are. That's why he has manifested. That's what they're for. It's sort of like their raison d'être. Their reason for being. Yeah. So therefore Krishna, if he wants to have particular relationships with some of them, he can, because they're his. They're not independent persons running around doing their things. And then, you know, they just decide, well, let me become a devotee. But they're part and parcel of Krishna. They're existing for his pleasure. That's what they exist for. Therefore, he has the right. He has the right. And in the case of according to the Leela, some of the gopis were married to other men, and therefore from a certain kind of material perspective, people feel that Krishna is an adulterer. But actually those ladies, they are the eternal wives of Krishna, And therefore, those men who tried to claim them as their wives, they are the adulterers, actually. They're stealing away Krishna's wives and trying to lay claim to them. Yeah. So, Krishna, you know, Lord Ram, not in all respects, because, you know, certain things he did, like how he treated Sita, in some cases, eventually he banished her. That's not exemplary. It's also some special Leela situation. But in many cases, he acted in ways which are relatively quite easy for everyday people to relate to. But Krishna sometimes, more often, he would just sort of not worry about such considerations because he doesn't have to. Not only does he not have to, but it's good if he displays that fact, because then people, at least people who are in the right state of mind, will understand, yes, just see, he's the Lord. He's displaying the fact that he's the Lord. Otherwise, you end up thinking he's just, you can end up thinking he's just one of us. Yeah. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada.